Okay.
Everyone ready?
Call the Tascadero Planning Commission meeting to order. Commissioner Ward, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Yes, I'd be proud to. Would everybody stand, face the flag, bend over the heart, repeat after me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Annette, could we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Present.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Here.
Chairperson Jack?
Here.
Six present, one absent.
Thank you. Could I have a motion for approval of the agenda, please?
So move approval.
Well, there's stereo.
Record it anywhere you want.
Commissioner Benz with a second from Vice Chair Moreno.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
At this point in time, we're at public comment. Anyone wishing to comment on anything that is germane to this body, feel free to approach the podium. Seeing none, bring it back to the commission. Any planning commission business? You know, we should take a few minutes to discuss why this is here at the conclusion. Okay.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
And Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay, we have one item on our agenda this evening, which is a conditional use permit amendment and tree removal permit for 2600 Ramona Road and 6075 Conejo Road. Is there any ex parte? Commissioner Ward?
Yes, I drove around the property yesterday, spent about a half hour there, but I didn't run into anybody and I didn't have any conversations.
Commissioner Colomarino?
None.
Commissioner Bin? I visited the site just to get a feel for what was there and did not talk to anyone. Vice Chair Moreno?
No ex parte.
I visited the site also. It's beautifully maintained.
Yes, it is. Okay, with that, Warren?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. This item before you tonight is a conditional use permit amendment. This is for an existing church. As you mentioned, the church is located on Ramona Road off of El Camino, or off of US 101. There's basically three items that are being requested as for the amendment tonight. The first is to add an additional parking lot, which would consist of 126 parking spaces and be about 2.1 acres in size. And this would be on a new lot next to the existing church. And then there's a proposal to add an 1,800 square foot shade structure at the rear of the site behind the church building. And then the parking lot will require the removal of one 5-inch live oak tree. There's a number of trees that are on the site that have been preserved, but this one tree just couldn't be avoided with the way the driveway is laid out. So on the screen here is your overview of the site and aerial photo. Your general plan designation is SE, which is suburban estates. The zoning district is RS, which is rural suburban, so this is a residential zone. Zoning ordinance allows churches in residential zones with use permits, so this one already has its use permit. That's what we're talking about tonight, is to amend that existing use permit to allow these additional facilities. So you can see the church building right here. here, fronting Ramona Road. The parking lot would be proposed on this vacant lot right here in the shade structure. In the shade pavilion, it's a fairly basic structure. It'll be located behind the site. Staff believes it's consistent with the architecture and character of the existing site. We don't see any problems with that either. So here's an aerial photo of the whole project, existing church, proposed parking lot, and here would be the shade structure in this grassy area in the back. Engineering-wise, the city engineer's main concern would be the stormwater issues. We have a standard requirement that projects have to maintain stormwater at historic levels. So basically, whatever the runoff to the site is today that's undeveloped has to be maintained after the project is completed. That will require a basin that meters out the flow because the parking lot does have a higher peak flow. We'll have to have drainage reports, including calculations that will demonstrate that. And the purpose of the basin not only is to store the water, it also cleans and desilts the water and then would protect any downstream properties. In terms of planning issues, this is pretty straightforward. We will require a landscape plan for installation of the all the landscape materials, which will need to be drought tolerant, except for the active play areas. Active play areas are allowed to be turf because there's a purpose for the turf. There's no parking lot lighting being requested, so we don't expect any glare or impacts to the neighborhood based on the lighting. Then there'll be a tree protection plan included to protect the native oak trees. So staff is recommending approval of the project. All your required findings are included in the staff report. The applicant and his engineer are here, and they'll be happy to answer any questions that the commission would have as well. So that concludes staff's report.
Thank you, Director Frace. Are there any questions, staff?
I have none.
Commissioner Benz?
Warren, does their existing parking without this meet all of their parking requirements for their conditional use permit?
Yes, they have adequate parking today.
Okay, thank you.
Vice Chair Moreno?
I'm assuming not, because I didn't see any in the staff report, and unless we hear tonight, is there anyone in the public that has opposed this for any reason?
We've been contacted by a couple neighbors. I don't believe anybody's opposed to it, but there were some questions about how the access was going to be taken. There was a little bit of concern about access off Conejo Road. There is no access off Conejo Road. There was also concern about potential flooding or drainage issues, but we believe that's been addressed, so there won't be any downstream impacts as well.
Okay. And then one last question you just had mentioned.
Help me do the drought conditions. And we are working on a landscape irrigation ordinance that's required by the state that will go into effect January 1st. And that basically will codify that turf can only be used in limited areas where there's active play.
Okay. So understandable. Obviously, right now it is not a requirement, but as of January 1, applicants will be limited according to this new ordinance as to what they can turf or not, or for what purpose.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes, I have a few questions, please. On condition 12, it talks about public improvements. What improvements are being proposed are going to be required for either Conejo or Ramona?
I'll have the city engineer, Dave Athey, answer that.
Okay. Condition 19, drainage detention basin, the area should not be fenced. It looked like the basin was about 5 feet deep, maybe 6 feet deep. Aren't basins that are that deep require fencing?
You want to get that? Okay. Hi, David Athey, Public Works Department. I can answer question 12. All public improvements shall be constructed in conformance. So that's a standard engineering condition for the project. And I believe the applicant is required on number 2 to slurry seal the road. So that would be, that's what that condition is connected to.
And then on 19. Now, the applicant had shown on the exhibit that they provided there was fencing around the basin.
Yeah, our standard requirement in these areas is not to have the fenced basins, but to have the gentle slopes, the 5-to-1 slopes, and then have a 2-foot maximum depth in it. There's sometimes there can be some additional slope and some freeboard above that. So, but as long as the effective design depth is 2 feet, then it doesn't need to be fenced. And that's the design that we're requiring in these commercial and residential areas, because we don't want these fence basins. They tend to become kind of an eyesore and a maintenance issue, especially in a residential zone.
Yeah, it's well tucked away. I don't know about the elevation of the water. Again, when I looked at the elevations that were there off the parking lot, it appeared there might have been 6 feet or so, maybe towards the back. Access into the new parking lot, maybe two or three spots. And so the numbers, I think, would change that you have in the in your presentation on the second page. Let me find it. On your analysis. On page 9, I'm sorry. Church contains 133, adds 126, a total of 259. Again, it looked like, at least on the most western access point, maybe two or three parking spots were going to be removed there. It also, I thought there was another pine tree being removed. Now, I know that the ordinance applies to native trees correctly, correct?
Well, there's a list of native trees. The pine trees aren't included.
But there is another tree being removed.
Yeah, we only list the natives that are listed.
Lastly, and maybe the applicant answer this, I'm kind of dumbfounded by the access requirement, the cross access easement being required. Does the applicant own both pieces of property?
I'll have the applicant address the ownership question, and then also just in terms of the counts of parking spaces, I'll have the applicant address that as well. Because we're not requiring these parking spaces, from our standpoint, we're not really that concerned with the number one way or the other, because they have more parking than's required.
Yeah, I guess it's just the engineer in me. Their trees, grass will filter. Okay. Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, ask the applicant to approach the lectern.
Good evening, please. Commissioner Jack, commissioners. My name is Bob Winslow with EDA Design Professionals on Santa Barbara Street in San Luis Obispo. We can answer any other questions that you have tonight. I do have some condition of approval clarifications that I'd like to address first, and then I can address some of your other concerns. The first thing is that on condition two, which would be the public improvements that were referenced, the city's stock condition is seal coat, and that's Ramona Road, not San Ramon, as noted in the condition. The LDS Church is wondering if they can slurry seal the road instead of to detain the additional flow that's created because of the paving. However, we are using zero-inch curbs and trying to keep with a lid or low-impact design concept, which is a little bit more expensive for the church, but they feel that it's important to try to work with the city on that concept. So we're not going to put in a storm drain system per se with pipes and catch basins, but we're actually trying to allow the natural sheet drainage that occurs on the site now to continue, just detain it in a basin. So I'm not sure what drainage easements would be required. We're sending the water where it's always gone. We want to continue to do that, and to my knowledge, we're not accepting water from other sites. So we were questioning what drainage easements were necessary. Condition number four notes that street improvement plans will be prepared by a registered engineer, but there are no street improvement plans for the project, so we would like that item stricken from the condition. Pertaining to the drainage, on conditions 5, 6, and 7, there may be some conflict in the conditions. Condition 5 and 6 especially, one says that we will not allow more flow than what previously, than what left the site in its existing condition, but then the other one says that we will make sure the pipes convey a 10-year storm. So if the pipes currently won't convey a 10-year storm, condition 7 talks about upsizing the culvert. If we were to upsize the culvert, potentially we would be allowing more water to leave the site than what previously left the site. So we would like to just stick with, I think it's condition number 6 that says the existing flow. And then, of course, we would anticipate detaining the 25-year storm. I just want to make sure that we're not upsizing that pipe and causing the downstream neighbors any concerns about increasing the drainage onto their properties. Condition number 10, questioned the off-site drainage. I wanted to ask the engineering department if they intended us to take the drainage from Ramona Road onto the site, because currently there's a ditch there and a culvert that I believe all basin with 2-to-1 slopes. So there are two conditions that we felt for safety reasons it would be the right thing to put a fence around that basin. Additionally, the basin is designed with a 6-inch retention depth. In other words, the basin is 6 inches lower than the outlet of the basin, providing a place for silt to collect and for the church to get in there and clean out silt and debris before it goes through the pipe. That also reduces the amount of water in 99% of the storms that leaves the site, because it actually just stays in the basin and percolates there. As far as your questions, I think I've addressed. Okay, so for the parking, there are 133 spots existing on the church. We lose roughly 3 spots with each of the driveways, so there's 6 spots that are lost because of that. We took access off the existing parking lot for a couple reasons. One was that we wanted to reduce the impacts of the project to traffic on Ramona. We wanted this project to be part of the existing church, and therefore it would work much like the existing parking lot does. So we do lose 6 parking stalls there. We lose an additional parking stall because we are increasing the number of parking stalls and therefore have to increase the number of disabled parking stalls. So we're losing 1 stall to stripe for the disabled parking exit area, and there'll be a new ramp that's installed next to the existing church. Additionally, the church feels the parking is warranted because they do have church functions in which they are currently or were leasing the parcel next door and parking on that parcel. They did purchase the parcel. They do own both parcels, and they wanted to formalize their parking needs for their district conventions and these sort of things by having that parking there. They have talked about installing bar gates on the entrances into that parking lot so that unless the church wanted it to be used, it would not be used in that way. They could control who was using it, when it was being used, and those sorts of things. We are removing a pine tree. There is one used for outdoor education activities, the Boy Scouts to, you know, work on, badges and things out there. And it's also necessary because we're taking the little grass area that they have behind the church and putting a shade pavilion there. So we need to provide them with some outdoor space to be able to use. The church has been a partner with Tascadero Mutual Water District, and they have retrofitted all of their landscaping and irrigation heads. They're using rotor heads in the lawn, and that's what they intend to use in the new lawn. They would continue to work as a partner with the water district for that. And in fact, the maintenance supervisor for this particular church, who also is in charge of all of the churches in the county, remarked at how much better the water usage or how much lower the water bill is at this facility as compared to his others. So they are trying to minimize the amount of water used. I think that's all I had. If you have any other questions of me.
Thank you, Mr. Wenzel. Are there any questions for Mr. Wenzel? Commissioner Schmidt?
I was questioning about the cross-access easement between the pieces of land. Now that I'm even finding out that the church has purchased the adjacent piece, do you see a problem with having to do that? Or I don't think it's necessary personally.
I don't feel that it is necessary. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if the condition was stricken. I understand why the city would ask for a condition like that, particularly on a project where you had two different owners. Mm-hmm. It is an additional encumbrance on the property. It's something else that if in the future the city wanted to divest itself of that parcel and it was to become something besides a parking lot, the easement would have to be vacated at that time.
Granting an easement to yourself is kind of where I'm at on it. And so that's why I was wondering, did the church, and I wouldn't recommend it, but has the church thought about merging the parcels?
We have not talked about merging the parcels. Again, I don't know what their future program for facilities would be. Another, just as an engineer and surveying professional, I would have a concern with doing anything that might in the future restrict that parcel, the Conejo parcel, from accessing Conejo if it was to turn back into a residential parcel. So I wouldn't want to grant an access that was a historic access to that site that might be a problem to get rid of later.
Yeah, I agree. Not used. Was there a discussion that the church record some type of document that cast that in stone?
That has not been discussed with me, no.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Commissioner Calamarino, and we'll go through and take some questions, and I'll get some answers from staff on some of these.
Yes.
Mr. Wenzel's question.
My question is that you've asked for certain conditions to be changed here this evening, and I'd like to know whether you previously brought up these requests with members of the city staff.
Some of the conditions I had spoken with Mimi about, who unfortunately could not be here tonight, some of the conditions had not. And I have to admit that I was on vacation days both Friday and Monday, so I apologize for bringing some of these things up that typically I would have worked on with staff. I have a good relationship with staff. Typically, Warren, Mimi, David, or Russ, or I would have spoken about some of these things ahead of time.
So some of them they're hearing for the first time then tonight?
Yes.
Do you expect that they'll be in a position to make a definitive determination on each of the things that you brought up this evening?
I do. I don't think I'm asking for any special dispensations for this site. These conditions are stock conditions, and often when stock conditions are compiled, they conflict with each other. So I think that if anything, some of these things could be agreed on that between David or Russ and I, especially pertaining to the drainage, we can make sure that we meet historic flows, which is the city's condition, and that we are also detaining the 25-year storm while holding back some silt and trying to clean the water. We all have the same goals. The conditions just conflict a little bit, particularly with upsizing the pipe that goes under Conejo Road. My main objective would be not to upsize that pipe under Conejo Road.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else? Director Frace, are you in a position to respond to these six or seven questions?
Yeah, I'll hit the couple planning items and I'll turn it over to Mr. Athey to deal with the drainage issues. So the first one, number 19, on the detention basin, as I mentioned, it's typically just a standard utilitarian fence. And then number 20, dealing with the cross-access easement, that's typically a best practice where you have separate owners, is to have some sort of easement that ties them together, because if for whatever reason you had separate owners, there's no way to get to this parking lot except across the church property, so it would make sense to have that. It does include in the condition that easement could be eliminated when the parking lot was eliminated. So we'd recommend that. We think that's probably the best thing long-term in case you have an ownership issue in the future. But if the commission felt that needed to be removed, that wouldn't be the end of the world either. Then I'll turn it over to Dave to address the engineering issues.
Thanks, Warren. Bob, if I missed something, would you remind me? I think I got everything here. Number two, I'm okay with changing San Ramon Road to Ramona Road. That's a typo. On the seal coat, we prefer to have a new wearing surface. That's the idea of a slurry seal rather than a seal coat. So I'd recommend not changing that condition. On item number three, drainage easements shall be obtained by the applicant as needed. If the applicant doesn't need any drainage easements, then we wouldn't require them to get any because they don't need any for their discharge. So I don't recommend any change there. For number four, I think you objected to the term street improvements. I think in this case it really revolves around the slurry seal street improvement on Ramona Road. So, I mean, if we want to be more specific, we could put language in there, including the slurry seal street improvement. Typically involves a note on the plans is what we're looking for. So we could make, I could make that recommendation, or you could leave it the same. For Public Works, you know, for the record, we're looking for that note about slurry sealing Ramona Road. Going down to number seven, where it says the applicant shall upsize the culvert or redesign the proposed project. If the applicant doesn't want to upsize the culvert, we can strike upsize the culvert from that language and just say basically then the applicant shall redesign the proposed project to prevent the worsening of drainage conditions at that point. And Public Works would be satisfied with that. You know, the applicant has to convey this, any stormwater that comes from offsite through his property, if it's in a drainage course, you know, past his structures and out to that culvert. So this is a standard language we put in there. And then it also addresses the drainage from the site shall not cross property lines, only where an easement is provided by a next door neighbor. So if they're not proposing to do that in this instance, so it really doesn't apply, but a standard language in this case.
Is there any problem with removing it?
We could remove the second sentence, third sentence, drainage shall cross lot lines only where a drainage easement has been provided. I'm not comfortable with that just because I haven't seen the final plans for this project yet, and I don't know what they what they really entail in terms of the grading and drainage plan. So I'd be comfortable with a sentence to the effect that the city engineer can waive this requirement as needed.
So you could work with the applicant to modify this to fit both of you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that covered. Did we miss any? Thank you. Commissioner Schmidt.
Can I have a question of the applicant, please?
Certainly.
With respect to number 10, is there any drainage coming off of Ramona Road onto the property at this point, or is it, you had mentioned that it was being collected in the culvert and carried towards the east to Highway 101. Is there any concern from your behalf of having to have any off-site water come through, maybe the existing church or anything like that come through? Or
the only concern that I would have is that if for some reason there were public improvements that were a city or other applicant-sponsored project that were happening adjacent to our site, I would not want to guarantee them the right to increase drainage through our site that may have not gone there before. So I don't want to formalize bad drainage if that's what's happening. If there's existing drainage that we have to accept, with David's requirement as needed, working with the city engineer, if we find that the ditch that's there now, basically there's a ditch there now with a sump, If that's not...
Commissioner, Vice Chair Moreno?
Mr. Athey, numbers 4 and number 2. So with number 4, if we were to take out street improvements, underground utilities, composite utilities, grading, drain, because that's not... We're saying it's just simply relating to the slurry seal. Is that correct?
Well, this item number 4... requires the applicant to submit grading plans for their project and the project plans prior to building permits. And that would include the work they're going to do off-site, which would be covered under street improvements in this case. So they're not proposing really to do any utilities other than the stormwater work out there, but we are looking for a grading and drainage plan for the parking area itself.
Right. So it's just there's some just extra things in here that could be taken out, or you're saying there it's not necessary to take them out because it's not applicable anyway?
Correct, because it's for review and approval by the city engineer. So if they don't need any utility plans, then the city engineer could approve that like that.
Okay.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes. I'm somewhat uncomfortable with what happened tonight. I don't think it's right that all of these conditions be changed without staff having adequate time to review it and to suggest some improvements or to change or add some additional requirements based on what has been requested tonight. I've been on the Planning Commission a number of years, and it's highly unusual that these conditions aren't discussed with staff prior to coming before us. And I think there's enough changes in here for me to think that we should refer it back to staff and you come back with a complete plan that we can read and identify as meeting all of the requirements of our current code in that. So that's how I sort of feel about this. I'd be willing to listen to arguments opposing what I said, but I think it's somewhat unusual for this Planning Commission for you to even ask the Planning Commission to make these changes. Thank you.
Commissioner Colomarino.
Thank you. Analyze your request beforehand and perhaps accede to those things beforehand so that they're not... presenting the issues to us that we don't need to review. Procedurally, it's problematic. Now, with respect to turning the matter back to staff, I think before doing that, I'd like to know whether the applicant would be satisfied with these conditions as modified in the way that Mr. Frace and Mr. Athey agreed to modify them on the spot this evening. And if the applicant is satisfied with that, then I think we need to note what the modifications are that the staff is prepared to agree to here and now, and we can consider whether to approve those. And I know I would be inclined to approve the changes to the condition that the staff is willing to accede to at this moment myself. And if we could get to that point, then we're done with this.
Any other comments? Any other questions for the applicant?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Winslow.
Can I make one comment to the
Certainly.
Conditions?
Certainly. Go right ahead.
I have to say that staff worked very hard through some last-minute issues on this project, particularly pertaining to the tree removal. We actually moved the driveway from where its original design location was so that we could only have to remove a 5-inch tree instead of an 8-inch tree. Those things being said, the conditions of approval were delivered to my office Thursday afternoon. So there wasn't a large lead time, and most of these conditions that we are talking about making some changes are really just language changes. They're not of any substance to the actual project design. I just want to make sure that we're being very clear. For instance, about public improvement plans, I wanted I wanted to hear what I heard tonight, and that's not that we're expected to do a separate set of public improvement plans just right. to slurry seal the road. Also, with all due respect, I present in many different jurisdictions, and it is fairly commonplace and common practice to discuss condition changes at this meeting, and in fact, that's what these meetings are for in some respects. So I think most of what we've talked about for condition changes are just language.
To this, is this something that you need some additional time with, or is this something that we can proceed with?
I don't have any other questions for the applicant.
Okay.
And regarding your second question, you know, I appreciate the commission's concern with, you know, bringing things up. The drainage issue is a little complicated, but in the end, it's, you know, we have a pretty good handle on what's being requested. So Dave and I have a comfort level that what we just talked about we can accomplish tonight. So I think we could finish this up tonight and not have to run this through another meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Winslow. I'll bring it back to the commission now. Thank you. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment on this? Please approach the lectern and state your name. And you'll have up to 3 minutes.
Okay, my name is Nick Miller, and I own the Creek Reservation behind the property. California Homes down there put their drainage business in, and that was before I owned the property. Okay, and it's been in my family for generations. But anyway. And I have, you know, you go down there on the other side of that drain when it comes out of that collection basin there, and it goes through some grading there, but doesn't pull it out. I get concrete bags and empty concrete bags and other debris that blows out into the creek. So I do have a concern on the runoff if they end up having to channel this off somewhere and go onto the back of their property and then into the creek. I also have a concern over the shade pavilion. I'm not sure exactly how close it gets to the creek reservation line. I'm hoping that there's some markers down there. But there is I do have a concern to that. So drainage in one end, and if they have to channel something somewhere extra now, and it's got to come back onto that part of the property and then back out onto the creek, I have a concern there. Also, I have the concern of the shade pavilion and how close it's going to be to the creek reservation line. And that's it. It's down there over the bank and down where they have their soccer field or whatever it is down there, so I'm not sure. I was thinking it was over in the parking lot, you know, the new parking lot that they were going to put in. But now I see that it's over behind, so it's got to be down below. And I don't know. That's my question is how close that's going to be to the creek reservation line.
I'm still confused. Are you talking about the release of the water?
No, I'm talking about the pavilion.
The pavilion itself, okay.
Could you be a little more specific relative to your concern?
Well, I'm wondering how close that's going to be and what changes that might make. This 5-inch tree that they're talking about, is it down there or is it up where
no,
the parking lot is?
It's up on Conejo. No, San Ramon.
Ramona.
Ramona. It's up near Ramona Road?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, so those were the questions and the concerns I had. I got the notice in the mail like I assume most everybody else did, and I thought that it was going to be and then I see that it's the pavilion's down there, and so it does make a concern to me.
Okay. I'm still a little confused as to your specific concern about it relative to the reservation.
Well, you know, I don't know if it carries, if a shade pavilion carries the same code concerns and so forth to property lines as you know, a building does, for example. So, it would be interesting to find out, and maybe these gentlemen could give me that, as to how, at the closest point of that pavilion, how close it is to the creek reservation line.
Okay, and you're concerned about that.
Which is 50 feet from the high water level, or was back umpteen years ago.
You're concerned about the height, maybe? Or
no, I'm concerned with the encroachment on the easement,
okay,
on the reservation
okay
line.
Okay.
You know, there's been a concern through the years over increasing the setbacks and so forth, and so that is a concern. I have to deal with that daily.
I understand.
Okay.
Any other questions of Mr. Miller? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Close the public portion and bring it back to the commission.
Those are owned by private parties. So the church backs up to the gentleman's property, which is also the Creek Reservation. There is a 20-foot setback off of Creek Reservations for structures, and I just need to get an aerial up here so I can tell you exactly what it is. I don't know if the applicant has a better idea of exactly what the setback is.
In the meantime, while Director Frace is, we're waiting for the GIS map, is there any other questions? I'll reopen the public for the applicant, Mr. Winslow.
Warren, can you make the site plan available? So the Creek Reservation line, let's see if I can get this wrong button. Okay, the Creek Reservation line, this is Graves Creek, obviously, where you can see the trees here. The church has two turfed areas. There's an upper turf area and a lower turf area. Mm-hmm. The Shade Pavilion is entirely on the upper turf area. It's not down in the creek bed or anywhere near the reservation line, and we would have to meet all of the same building code setbacks for that Shade Pavilion that we would for any other structure.
Okay. Excuse me. Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes. Do you know what the setback is? I mean, how far is the building from the gentleman's property?
I don't have a plan here in front of me, but if I could get a plan from Warren, I could scale it from you and tell you what the distance is.
I would say it's 50 or 60 feet.
It's at least 50 or 60 feet.
Yeah.
The Shade Pavilion itself, you can see, actually, can you go back to that? Oh, is that the GIS, Warren?
Yeah, this has the property lines on it. So you can see the property line is down
it's
here.
It's actually
in the tree
down
lines
in the creek. So,
don't send it.
So just in perspective, the depth of these stalls, of these parking stalls, is approximately 20 feet. So this is where the Shade Pavilion is going to be. So you're looking at least 100 feet from the creek.
As far as the runoff from the pavilion, are there any plans for any down drains or downspouts or anything, or is it just going to flow off and find its way?
Let me consult with the architect real quick.
Thank you.
David Athey, Public Works. I'm understand the question is regarding the basin. Is it the question regarding the basin and where it flows?
I believe that's correct.
Is that correct? So my understanding is the historic flow has been in a culvert. I hope everybody can see it. There's a little culvert right here that crosses, I think it's a driveway currently, but this is Conejo Road right away. Flows across land in this direction down towards Graves Creek. So the discharge from that basin would have to follow that historic flow path in this case. The applicant won't be able to change locations of the outfall.
And okay, in terms of just debris, pollution, garbage, that sort of thing, that is the purpose of these desilting basins, is to capture any of that material, keep it on site, so that's what's released off site is a clean flow. So this is designed not to create any impacts to Graves Creek or any of the downstream properties.
Any other questions of the applicant before I close? I'll bring it back. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Winslow. I'll bring it back to the commission.
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt.
I have questions of Warren, please. There was a. I wondered about whether there was going to be a covenant or something written or recorded that restricts how the parking lot's going to be used, since there was a discussion about that in your discussion.
That's the purpose of the use permit. The use permit's not actually recorded, but we keep track of the use permit, and we will enforce the provisions if there's a problem.
And then as far as the changes go, I think that we focus a few of them, and one had to deal with the fencing area. There was a give and take on that. And I think as far as the applicant goes, that there has been enough discussion in this forum right now for him to understand that staff, where staff stands on these conditions, and it's been out in the public, let's say. And so if things do change, then he always has a recourse of saying, this is what was stated at the hearing, this is what was presented. And I think that he feels comfortable with the idea that the discussion has happened. He understands where it's going to be.
Being good property owners for the city. And based on staff's promise to us that they could work out all the conditions, I would like to request one other condition, is that the minutes reflect the exact changes as staff and the applicant agreed to, so that we see at our next meeting the list of changes. On that basis, I think I could support this.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair, before you introduce a motion, Mr. Athey could go through and just kind of summarize exactly his comments, and then you could give us direction on number 19 and 20 as you wish.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Warren. So in number two, we wanted to change the wording to Ramona Road from San Ramon Road. The applicant also asked to seal coat Ramona Road, and we're not going to change that. So the only change would be Ramona Road on number two. Number three, the applicant asked that be stricken. Staff has indicated that we want no change to that because it does have an out as needed. On number four, we clarify that street improvements relates to notes on the building plans that indicate slurry sealing of Ramona Road. So really there's no change to that. We recommend no change to that language. On number seven, recommended removing the words upsize the culvert or, those four words, upsize the culvert or. And on number 10, staff recommends that we add the language, this condition may be waived, comma, as needed, comma, by the city engineer. I'll read that again. This condition may be waived, comma, as needed, comma, by the city engineer. And that was the extent of public works changes.
Vice Chair Moreno.
And so along with what Commissioner Vence was saying, what we'll receive is sort of like a red line version. Here's what it was. Here's what it.
Commissioner Calamarino.
As I understood it, on 19 and 20, the staff is not recommending any change to what you have here, right?
We're recommending those conditions as is.
Right. Well, I'd be in favor of keeping them that way then myself.
Chairperson?
Commissioner Schmidt?
I'd like to talk about 19 first. Again, there's a state law that requires detention basins to be fenced when they exceed certain amounts of holding. And the reason why is for safety reasons. Children have gone into them, have drowned.
Yes.
And the applicant has noted that the basin as it's designed right now is going to have a holding capacity of 4 feet, which exceeds that state standard. Staff has suggested to us that an alternative would be to reshape the basin, so by removing some parking facilities to make it large enough so it could hold a capacity of water that doesn't need to be fenced. I'm wondering if the condition could not be rewritten that if the basin is beyond a certain depth, then it's fenced, needs to be fenced. But if it's not, then it doesn't need to be fenced, and approach it that way. On 20, and again, the applicant had noted that the parcel next door, they had been leasing the land from the owner and parking on it, but now they own the piece of land. And technically, it's illegal to grant yourself your own an easement to yourself. And that's, in fact, what's being requested by the staff, is for them to grant an easement to themselves. If there is a concern about the future and if the parking lot changes or changes hands, essentially the use of the parking lot by someone else besides the church is a violation of the conditional use permit. It can't be done. It's obsolete. And if someone else was to use that property, they would have to go out onto Ramona Drive and access that way and not through the church parking lot. So I'm just kind of stating that I think 20 is somewhat of a needless discussion to grant a cross easement to yourself. It isn't needed. I can cross onto my own property anytime I want.
Okay, any other comments? Commissioner?
That really what's happening, granting an easement to yourself. You're granting an easement to the owner of the other parcel. One parcel owner is granting an easement to the owner of the other parcel to go across that land. And I got a question whether that it doesn't strike me as so obviously illegal. Maybe it is. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'd just like to have some authority on that, and I'd like to know whether the staff has any knowledge on this issue, whether you considered it beforehand.
But there are only one owner. There aren't two owners. So one owner granting something to another owner doesn't exist at this point. The church owns both pieces of land, so the church would be granting an easement to itself.
Well, it's now that treats the easement as a personal thing from one person to another person. You're saying it can't be to the same person. But if it's one property owner to another property owner, that's what I'm wondering. If you treat it as an abstraction, it could be one property owner to another property owner, and the fact is that the property owner's identity can change. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm wondering
about.
Well,
let's have staff weigh in on this, because our attorney is not here, and so we don't have the benefit of his advice. Director Frace?
We are familiar with the concept that you can't grant yourself an easement, but it's our understanding you can't grant an easement by name to yourself for an easement. Typically, what we're talking about is a reciprocal access and parking agreement between the parcels. We typically do this on shopping centers all the time, which are usually always owned by a single master developer, but we do a blanket easement across all the lots so that in the future, as they are divided up, there's still parking agreements between them so people can move around. So that's really what we're talking about. We wouldn't be looking for an easement that's specific in name from one party to another, but that just provides an access right from one parcel to the other.
Okay, thank you. Any other? Vice Chair Moreno?
On number 19, I agree with what Commissioner Schmidt was saying, and I think it would be ideal if we don't end up having a fence and if it can be reworked without any tremendous changes, but maybe the language needs to say something about in according with state law, and you know, make sure that we're not going contrary to what the law is.
Any other comments? Commissioner Colomarino?
I just wanted to ask staff about Commissioner Schmidt.
To be to redesign that corner and probably lose some of the parking spaces. So I think as an alternative, if the commission's not comfortable with doing that redesign, which I can understand at this point, I would just recommend we condition it that it'd be a green vinyl-clad chain-link fence with landscaping. I think that'll give us that'll deal with the appearance issue, which is the primary concern with the fence.
And how high would that fence be?
6 feet.
Thank you.
So can I just follow up?
Yeah, go ahead.
So then this would change to require fencing, and then you'd specify the type of fencing, and we would, that would satisfy our concern here that this precaution is taken.
Yeah, we would just specify the material of the fencing and allow the fencing around the basin.
Commissioner Schmidt?
I can concur with that, and I just want to kind of bring up, don't want to beat the dead horse on 20. The example, with all due respect to Director Frace, I mean, when you're talking about a shopping center, you have multiple tenants. You know, you have a Kmart, you have a pizza place, you have this, and there's, everyone has a dedicated area, and you also have aisles that are being used to access the parking spots by the tenants are the people going to the particular store. So in that particular case, I can understand the necessity for that type of easement. But again, in this particular case, same owner owns both pieces of land. The conditional use permit is very, very restrictive that the parking lot itself can only be used by the church for certain functions. So if there is a sale of the parcel next door to someone else, the parking lot can't be used by that person for a parking lot at that point. They'd have to apply for another conditional use permit and to make that occur. So the need for a cross easement is not necessary even when the parcels change or if the parcels change ownership, which I would doubt that happens in this particular case. But I'm willing to go any way with the commission on that issue.
Commissioner Calamarino?
I would just add on that point, on the shopping center thing, at the beginning, it's still owned by only one person. And it's the same concept that these are separate parcels, and you can foresee that there will be different owners of them down the road. And similarly, that may occur here. So I don't see a big issue here, but it would seem to me that the easement requirement is not unreasonable, and it
to cross them just to assure that in the future, if there's changes of property owners, that you still maintain the access rights that are shown on here. Now, if this was a required parking lot where the church couldn't function without it, then I would say this easement is absolutely necessary because then the church couldn't function. Now, because this is additional parking that the church could function without, although it does seem like they need it either way, I think this is more a recommendation of best practice because I think it just assures that you don't have a land use ownership problem in the future if the properties were to somehow end up in different hands. And in the last couple of years with the recession, we've seen properties fracture and end up in all kinds of weird places that nobody expected. And that's where the easements have shown themselves to be very valuable. So we're going to recommend that. If the commission doesn't think it's necessary, you could just keep the first sentence because I think that would accomplish what Commissioner Schmidt said, which is to clarify that this parking lot is controlled by the use permit so that would give you a fallback provision just to control the use of that parking lot in the future.
You know, couldn't, if the property were sold, wouldn't access be able, couldn't that property have access to Ramona?
Well, it doesn't today, and it's not.
No, it doesn't today, so, but.
Well, that's the problem, is now not necessarily. They'd have to come back and ask the commission, and maybe it's granted, maybe it's not. If it's not granted, then they own a parking lot they can't use. Those are the problems you end up with if you don't have easements, is you okay. Just can't predict the future.
Okay.
Chairperson? So are we restricting access from this parcel to Ramona Road? Is there a 1 foot non-access strip that's going to cross the front of that property that says that someone at some time can't go to Ramona Road from this parcel?
No, we're not doing that, but what we are doing is approving a master plan that only has two connection points on Ramona, which is what's currently shown. So they would have to come back to the commission to amend to add an additional driveway. It's not that you couldn't do it, but there are some issues with site distance, turning movement, safety that staff's never analyzed, and that's why, and we don't have to because there's no new driveways, but if there was a driveway, then there'd be a question, and then there'd probably be a requirement for additional frontage improvements, widenings, that sort of thing, so it would be safe.
But we're not talking about this applicant. We're talking about a future owner of this. I'm also looking into the future and saying, let's say the church does sell this parking lot to someone or this piece of property. Are they going to want to have someone going through their parking lot for access to Ramona Road? No, they're not. And so why create a scenario in the future that if a property owner might buy the piece of land and say, hey, look, I have access this way and I want to use it. You can't stop me. This is a servient tenement, this existing piece. We're the dominant. We have rights. And I don't know if we want to set that situation up.
Well, I think Director Frace gave us an out there with modifying it to just including the first sentence, which basically covered what you were stating and would allow at a future point in time to they could sell it without having to deal with the easement, and then it would be a property based upon access to Ramona Road, which I'm inclined to go with. Commissioner Calamarino?
Yeah, I'm not in favor of that. I think that the best precaution is to have the easements. This is one parcel to another. These parcels could change ownership over time, and I think it's foreseeable that they will at some point. And I don't really see why it's so burdensome to put the easement on it. I don't understand why this is being made into such a big issue. And I think this horse was beaten to death a while ago, in my view. Staff has confronted this issue tonight for the first time with us. This is the recommendation. I don't see how it's burdensome, and I think it's an appropriate precaution to take myself. I haven't heard a good argument to the contrary, and so I am in favor of keeping it as is.
Commissioner Ward.
Yes, I agree. We're really beating this thing to death. This is a pretty straightforward project. And we're arguing here how many gypsies can dance on the head of a pin. Staff has made a compelling argument. It's here. It's no big deal to leave it in. And I just say leave it the way it is. It's not going to create any hardship for anybody. And it's pretty hard to read the future and then say, well, what if this and what if that? Well, if the future comes, it can be changed.
May I make a motion? The area will be fenced in accordance with state law and green, what was your terminology, Director?
Green vinyl clad chain link and landscaping.
What he said.
Second.
Did we catch everything?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And number 20, are we going to add the language in that Chairperson spoke about?
That wasn't in the motion.
As the maker of the motion, I would like to keep it as is. It's something the applicants requested, and I don't see a problem based on what staff has said with keeping that as is.
Okay. Well, okay.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Bentz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
I will go along with the motion, but I can say for certain that I have worked in many pieces of property that this issue that I'm talking about has become relevant and has cost property owners lots of money in court in trying to resolve easement issues between properties. And I think we're making a mistake in doing that. That discounted, I will vote for the project.
Commissioner Jack.
I have similar feelings with Commissioner Schmidt, but I will also vote to approve the project.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. I mean, sorry, 6-0.
Okay. Director Frace,
yes.
Report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We don't have a whole lot to report tonight. We are right now looking at canceling your next meeting, which would be on December 1st for lack of items. We do expect to still have a meeting on December 15th, and then there's actually five Tuesdays in December, so the 29th will be an open date anyway. So then your next meeting after that would be on January 5th. That'd be a long break.
Yeah. What a workload for the next meeting.
Yeah. Staff's done their first review of it. We've issued a series of comments and corrections on that, so that's back in the applicant's court. So we're waiting for their responses on that as well. We are working with the Walmart team. They are getting that project moving again, it appears, and we do expect that an application, a formal application, will be submitted in the near future, and that will be another project that will be getting going. So from the economic development standpoint, it seems like a number of items are really starting to come together. Downtown with the streetscape done is looking really nice, so we're hoping to have a real good Christmas season down there. So that concludes my report.
That's good to hear. Thank you. Any commissioner comments or reports? Commissioner Calamarino?
I just had a question for Director Frace about whether he's heard anything more, or you know anything more about the expected size of the Walmart, the revised Walmart project.
It's our understanding that it's going to be a smaller store. By smaller, we think it's in the 120,000 square foot size. We don't have confirmation officially of that, but we've seen a couple conceptual plans, and it looks like that's the direction they're going in.
Thank you. Any Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes. I don't know if other commissioners had followed the discussion last week at the City Council about the stimulus package that they were talking about. It's quite intriguing to me. And it dealt with taking redevelopment monies and providing it to downtown business owners for a long-term lease for low to moderate income housing for like 55 years and so on. It was quite interesting. And I had some questions of Director Frace on that. And we've been talking about, at least I've been talking about, the water fees that the water company charges, and then also about the public facilities or the capital facilities fees that the city charges. Would projects that would be mixed used, would they also be required to pay a capital facilities fee? And has the city had any discussion with the water company about the addition of residential uses in the downtown area and how whether they could use the existing meters, or would they have to apply for an allocation or connection?
Okay, a bunch of questions there. In exchange for a 55-year, very low-income deed restriction on that upper-story unit, that then the city would basically contribute or loan $100,000 in redevelopment money to help rehabilitate and make that unit livable. So that's the program. There was some issues just about exactly how the valuation and how the loan would be structured. And that still needs to be worked out. So that was referred back to staff to do some additional work on that. In terms of capital facility fees, all development pays capital facility fees with the exception of utilitarian accessory structures like garages and barns and that sort of thing. But any residential or commercial project will pay a fee. So a mixed-use project pays a fee based on the mix of the uses. So the commercial square footage pays a cap fee on a square foot basis, and then the residential units, which is true of all residential units, pays a fee based on the number of units. So it doesn't matter how big the unit is, it's just each unit pays a flat fee. Under our cap facility fee, the smaller the unit is, the lower the fee becomes. So a downtown high-density unit, like a mixed-use type unit, would pay the lowest fee in our fee structure. Now, we're also in the process of trying to get our housing element certified. We we do expect to be getting a letter back from HCD before Thanksgiving. We had a phone conference call with them a week and a half ago. It looks like there's no significant comments or concerns. When the housing element's adopted, one of the policies is to look at our fee structure in regard to affordable housing. So although we wouldn't be looking at adjustments for all mixed-use projects, projects that did include very low and low-income units, we are do have policy direction that we should be looking at ways to reduce fees, which would include capital facility fees, which is the major city fee. And then we're also been working with a water company to talk about how water meter fees might be reduced as well. Where these are rental units, I don't believe, but I don't know for sure exactly what the water company's requirement is for separate meters on rental units. I know ownership units always have to have their own separate meters under the water company policies. But I do believe that's something that we'll look at as part of our housing element policies.
Yeah. It's not an issue of the meter. It's an issue of the connection, the additional use by the resident. With respect to the capital facilities fee, I don't know what it is for a residential unit. It's $400, $500, but that's an annual payment then for 55 years that someone's going to be putting in. And so that $100,000 that's being offered as a token starts looking smaller and smaller as you start looking at these other aspects. And I didn't hear that discussion at the City Council meeting at all. Thank you.
Anything else? We're adjourned.